Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. I think the title says it all. Are you a hater? Does the green-eyed monster of envy burn your spirit and others when you see someone doing better than you are? Perhaps someone having something that you want that you don't have. Well, why is that? And what does that look like? And is it fixable? Well, tonight we are taking a look at envy and its consequences. My guests are Tara Gates Anderson. She's a brand expert and a recovering hater. And Joseph Williams. Joseph Williams, a licensed therapist with Umbrella Therapeutic Services. If you have a question or a comment about envy, about jealousy, about being a hater, or having haters, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Tara, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Joseph, good to see you again.
Good to see you, brother. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Let us talk about envy. And what is the difference between envy and jealousy? Because certainly we are talking about that colloquial term, hater.
Yeah.
But envy and being a hater, that's what we're talking about. Jealousy is something different, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say this. If I was to – can I have your permission to speak? I'm being funny. But, Drake, the rapper Drake said something that I found to be very interesting and useful at times when I'm doing therapy. When we talk about jealousy, right? Jealousy is hate and admiration mixed. Mm. Think about it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it again. Jealousy is nothing more but hate and admiration mixed. Mm-hmm. So when you think in terms of being envious is like a two-way situation. It's like someone has something that I want, mm-hmm. right? And then when you think about jealousy, it's like a three-way circumstance where it's like, you know, I feel this way with the fact that this person has this and is doing this. And I feel because they have this, I don't have an opportunity to be able to obtain that for myself. You know, so when you hear about the words hate and admiration, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, Tara's doing so well. She's doing this. She's jet setting. Mm-hmm. She's doing those We Out Here posts on Instagram mm-hmm. in Dominican Republic. She got stamps on her, you know, on her passport. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. I want to be that. I don't like her. Matter of fact, you know what, though? I think she got a weave, you know? In fact, that's why she's single. You know, I can say all that because it's to build myself up and yeah. I can minimize her accomplishments.
But this is different from the kind of jealousy, because jealousy obviously has many more definitions
yes.
where you may have perhaps a wife who has a great male guy friend yeah. and her husband is feeling jealous. That's not envy in the sense.
No. Yeah.
That's a different thing.
That's a different thing.
Absolutely. I think when you talk about it in that sense, that jealousy that someone may have is that fear of being replaced.
Right.
Mm. That fear of someone filling in their affection or their attention or whatever. The fear of loss. So jealousy in that sense, you're dead on with that. Mm-hmm. And with the envy, it's like what Joseph is saying, you know, you're coveting almost what somebody else has because you want it. But when you're doing both of those things, envy, jealousy, you're operating from a place of lack in yourself, that self-talk. And I love how you just said you start telling yourself this whole story.
Right.
And the next thing you know, it's snowballed into something else and your thoughts have gone wild.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens? You're still in the same place.
Right.
You haven't made any forward movement.
Yep.
You've had that temporary pick me up. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah.
I say tongue in cheek, Tara, yeah, that you're a recovering hater. But what was What was that like for you? Why were you a hater, envious? What was going on with you?
I think, like, look, I'm going to be real. I ain't probably fooling with her all tonight.
That's right. No, seriously.
Like, you know, I was even sharing this with Candace, you know, like.
Our producer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like 7-10 years ago, I was in this place of, you know, insecurity. I think to me, when you really think about being envious or jealous, you have to go to the root, you know, and as I got older, I had to like go to the root. I don't necessarily want to have 50 million passport stamps, or I may not want to have that particular car. What is it deep down inside that's really, really eating at me to even have those thoughts of jealousy or those thoughts of envy? Mm-hmm. And it came into that place of insecurity. And I think a lot of times, you know, for me, and I can only speak for me, I had that insecurity because I felt lack. You know, mm-hmm. I felt like I wasn't good enough. And once I began to learn more about myself, have self-love, and accept myself and really understand I'm perfect and whole just the way God made me, everything that I have, I'm grateful for, when I started operating that place, I don't have that whole jealousy of you.
So what did that look like? Give me an example of when it presented itself, not only inside, but outside. When you were envious of someone, mm-hmm. what was going on in your head? And give me an example of somebody that you, or something that you were envious of.
I'm going to say, I think it was almost like, you know, when I was doing my branding business, like, I didn't get those opportunities that other people had. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm a little bit more thorough than them. How are they getting these opportunities that I'm not getting? And how can I position myself to get those opportunities? Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was almost like, I know I'm better than that. You know, I know I bring more value than they bring. How are they getting those connections and those opportunities that I may not be getting to work with, like, big names or big brands or things like that? And so that's kind of like how it showed up for me. But then I had to come in and say, okay, what do I need to do to improve, to put myself in those positions? And then I just started operating and creating my own opportunities that would help me level up, so to speak, but in a genuine way, not by putting someone else down.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about envy, as some of you may know it as hate, being a hater. What does that look like? What does it feel like? What are the consequences of that for you? And can it be fixed? I'm going to go to the phone lines at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Austin, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Austin. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to say, a hater is hating is an extreme form of arrogance and jealousy mixed together. And let me tell you why I say that. See, a hater is a person that thinks they're better than you, but they've started to run out of reasons to think that. Like, go back to the lady's example. When she said, you know, I know I'm more thorough than them, that encapsulates hating at its extreme degree. For example, you might say, well, I'm better than them. I got a nicer house. Man, they got a nice house, too. Oh, I got more money than them. Nah, they're actually making more money. Well, I got a fresher whip. Nah, they got a really nice car. Probably got two of them. And then that's when it ensues. How can I show I'm better than them? And the reality is, you might not be better than them, but that's okay. We're all who we are, who we need to be. But it's when you start thinking that you deserve what that other person has because you feel you're better than that person.
Okay.
That's when that
hate is. Absolutely.
Austin, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about haters and what it really feels like, that feeling of envy. Here's the question, Joseph, that a lot of people often wonder. Where does this come from? This is not something that happens to adults. This is often something that happens in childhood, isn't it?
You know what? Same as what Tara said, we have to think in terms of a lack of something, right? So let's talk about it. Let's really go there. Let's mm-hmm. flip the glove inside out. Yes. We have social media. Well, yeah. We're watching people's lives, and we're watching people post their greatest moments, right? The greatest accomplishments that they have, when the lace front is sitting right, when the beat is right, when mm-hmm. they're on vacation, when they mm-hmm. got a pocket full of money. So a lot of times we are watching things, and sometimes that lack speaks out loud. Yes. With the way you see people, the way you perceive things and what you don't have, and we start comparing ourselves to people, right? And so I read an article recently that was actually mm-hmm. developed from, you know, this conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, we can minimize people's accomplishments. We start to kind of give backhanded compliments, or we mm-hmm. don't feel that that person was worthy of those accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And that's how we kind of heal ourselves from, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that I lack, or I want to bring the person down because they have something that I don't have. Mm-hmm. And so I think that nowadays, and just me having clients that come in on a day-to-day basis, most of their behavior is consistent. Most of the clients that come in anxious, depressed, they're always like, I'm seeing everybody live their lives on Instagram.
But I want to take it back to even farther
okay.
than just what you're talking about. And, okay. and here's an example. And I remember this years ago. A friend of mine who is a mother said that her daughter got into a fight at school,
uh-huh.
in elementary school.
Yeah.
And she asked her daughter, why did you hit so and so, why did you hit that girl? And the daughter said, because she thinks she's cute. Oh. And the mother said, she is cute. And so are you. And I think that example,
that's happy.
because we often, and as a yeah. woman, I'm sure yeah. that, you know, growing up, that you probably heard that, whether it was about yourself or about others, that a lot of girls, And probably boys too.
Yeah.
But a lot of girls will say, you know, they are envious of mm. hair length, hair texture, skin tone, clothing, mm. grades, whatever, and they want to fight the other girl because they believe that she thinks she's cute.
You know, and I gotta cut you off, Joseph. Uh-huh. I think it all goes into how you think about yourself. You know, if you get to the root of it, Harold, it's about what you think about yourself, what you believe in yourself, self-love.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, what's going on or who you see or what you see, anybody excelling or whatever is going on. When you are clear on who you are, and value that you bring, how you love your, you know, self-love, then none of that stuff can disrupt you.
I think, you know, and I do agree with that part, but there are some people who struggle in that department, you know, stemming from childhood. I will say this, as a darker skinned male, you know, growing up, you know, there were people that were valued over me. And then when you look at society, there's a master narrative that speaks and says that this is beautiful, this is attractive, there's nothing that looks like you. So they're saying you're not that. You're not that. You know, there are a few examples, but the majority doesn't look or seem like you. So then you start to say, okay, I'm not attractive. So when I do see the hot, you know, lighter boy or the tall boy, the boy with the curly hair, it's like he thinks he's attractive. Not because he said it, but because the world thinks it. And so I do see exactly where you're going
with that. And children begin to internalize it and
begin to believe it. I get that.
Yeah.
I do feel like the narrative's changing now, though.
Yeah.
If you look at all the movies that are out, yeah. everybody are people of color, right. All shades of color.
Yeah.
So I do think, you know, there's different messages being sent and received.
Right.
So that's the big thing. I mean, we could put the messages out there. Do we want to receive them? Do we want to absorb them and really understand that there's a place for everyone?
Right.
And it's all about, it goes to self-love. And I'm going to tell you.
And we all beautiful.
One book that changed my life, that got me all the way together on who I am as a person, how I operate in this world, and how I don't have that envy, jealousy thing anymore, it was The Four Agreements.
Yes.
And that is by...
We'll get it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about jealousy, envy, being a hater. What does that look like? How does it make you feel? What are the consequences of that? And can it be fixed? 202 319-781-0202, 319-781-0. Who, you pulled the book out. Who is it by?
Don Miguel Ruiz, The Four Agreements.
Okay. Something for us to certainly think about. And one of the other things that we're going to get to, you know, after the break is I want to talk about how it made you feel and whether or not there was an aha moment and what you believe, Joseph, is the difference between someone who may see someone who has so much more and it does not impact them or others negatively. We're going to get to all of that in just a moment. We are talking about hate, as it were. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are going to take a break. Stay with us. If you're on the line, we're going to take your phone call, so don't hang up. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, channel 141, in just a few minutes.
A second.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about hate, envy, that green-eyed monster. If you are a hater or if you have haters, what are the consequences of that? My guests are Tara Gates Anderson. She is a brand expert. She is a recovering hater. And Joseph Williams, a licensed therapist.
You know what?
Yeah, that's right. A licensed therapist with Umbrella Therapeutic Services. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Autumn, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Autumn. What's on your mind?
So I just wanted to comment on what was being talked about. And just a little background about myself. I'm 29. So in my generation nowadays, it's very tough, you know, to be confident within yourself and not to hate on someone. Because you look at most of these people who are on Instagram or Facebook and even celebrities. You look at them and they're always so pretty and they always have the best things that life can offer. And you look at that and you say, man, I want to be in that place. I want to do what they're doing. And then you look at yourself and you're like, man, I'm just plain Jane. So it's really tough to do that in today's society. Not saying that it can't be done, but it's very tough to do so in this society.
Joseph, your thoughts about what Autumn is sharing with us?
So I'd like to say to Autumn that I totally understand and I can empathize with that dynamic. And I have a lot of people that come sit across from me in therapy with those same issues based on what they're seeing on Instagram. What I've developed has been like a social media diet. I say that those things that oftentimes put pressure and anxiety on you, which make you feel less than, it could be a celebrity that you absolutely love, admire, want to walk in their footsteps. But if you feel that it's putting pressure on you and making you question where you are in your life, I think you need to mute that person and start curating your timeline to reflect things that are going to help you and not make you feel less than. You know, it's not that the person is purposely putting their lives out there to make you feel bad, but sometimes we can be in a vulnerable space where we're not able to witness someone's greatness. And instead of us seeing it from a positive standpoint, we have to be able to say, what can I do to get to the next level? But right now, you're probably not strong enough to witness Beyonce living her life, jumping off of cliffs with her kids or anything else. You know, maybe mute those things and start to curate a timeline that's going to be reflective of you growing, of you prospering, of you being patient with self and stuff like that. I'm not sure if that
No, it does reflect, but I think we got to dig deeper because you know, we should be able, and like you say, everybody's not in that space, right? But then they need to ask themselves, why can't I be happy for someone else? Why can't I witness this? Why can't I just digest this but then we have and be to, in a place?
I'm sorry, Tara. We have to think about the trauma. You know, some of us, like, I guess we have to, everybody's in a different space in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for instance, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm enthralled about everything that you've got going on. You know, it inspires me. Mm-hmm. You know, but mm-hmm. for the next person, that may be something else. You know, that might be like, oh, she thinks she cute. She mm-hmm. think, you know, mm-hmm. she just local. You mm-hmm. know, that's not true. But the reality of it is that I can understand that, you know, but it has to do with age. This young lady is 29.
Yes.
I'm at a place in my life where you doing this makes me feel like I can do it, or not even do it better, but maybe I have the opportunity just
but she's not too young to get tools. I think people need tools to evolve their thinking.
But hold on, before we even get to that point. You know, Autumn spoke about, you know, seeing stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. This didn't start with social media.
No, it didn't. It started with the mentality, mindset, the belief in ourselves, how we perceive ourselves, the how much love we have for ourselves, the acceptance for ourselves. That's what's lacking.
And this isn't about, and first of all, Autumn, mm-hmm. thank you so much for your phone call.
Yes.
The other thing is, I know a lot of folks want to talk about trauma.
That's where I was going to go. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, this ain't always about trauma. Sometimes somebody didn't tell you like the mother's example. Mm-hmm.
And that's
when
traumatic
she said, yes.
for people, though.
Somebody never heard that they were beautiful. Somebody never heard that they were loved. Which is considered trauma.
Yeah,
which we can equate to trauma.
Okay.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, for instance.
I mean, I'm thinking something that's much more severe.
Okay, so Lena Waithe. Sister Lena Waithe, she's working on a documentary about the sneaker world, mm-hmm. the whole sneaker game. Mm-hmm. And so she said something that I found to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. And as a therapist, I found this. I went to a consumer's home one time, and he has a huge plethora of sneakers in boxes. You can pull them out. It's like a whole closet of everything. And she said something that I found to be interesting. She said, if you see somebody who has a big sneaker collection, usually there was some level of hurt somewhere that he or she is making up for now. And so I asked him, did people tease you when you were a kid about your shoes? He was like, my mom would never buy me shoes. So I spent thousands of dollars on my shoes.
But how many pair of high heels do you have, Tara?
Oh.
How many pair of high heels?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was just one example.
That was one example. Right, that was one example.
Right, but I mean, so Tara's got a lot of high heels. Yeah. Every woman walking around D.C. probably has or wants to have. You know,
but it's a different experience for everybody. Everybody's trauma is attached differently.
If you would have saw what I saw, it was extreme. It was extreme. You know, people, I have tons of items too, but ultimately, if you would have saw what I saw, it was extreme. And so I think that, like, going back, and I'm not trying to, you know, count back what I said. Mm-hmm. What I said is that we have to always look at what was said, what was done, and who did it, and how it was done, which oftentimes equate how you behave today.
Or what was not said, or what was not done, or who didn't say what.
There you go.
So I get all that. And I agree, both of y'all get it, mm-hmm. because trauma is different levels and means different things to different people. But when I was, you know, going through my hater thing and all that stuff, I had to do some self-reflection. Yeah. And at some point, we have to take ownership in our own evolution. I don't think that, now that you realize that you're looking at people online and you can't digest all of that, it's too much for you, when are you going to stop comparing, and when are you going to start resolving and evolving? Because you have to put some things into place. People need tools to have this understanding. And sometimes you go through things in life to really realize what's important. Then you get to the place of, okay, now I can receive, now I can read, or now I can go to therapy. People need tools. I don't think we just need to say, and I'm not saying you all are saying this, but, like, you know, get over it, stop comparing. When I was going through a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know, over the past 10 years, I just started doing a lot of self-reflection, a lot of reading. I even started a video blog voicing all of that on YouTube. And when I got to that place of, like, wow, I get it now. Yeah.
But here's my question. Why did you start doing that? What was it? What was the thing or things that made you realize that you needed to make a change? Somebody had to say something, or you had to have some kind of.
Let me tell you, God told me something.
Okay.
Like, literally, you know, one day I was working a business, sitting in my bedroom, and God was like, I'm not feeding this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I heard him say that.
Yeah.
Pleading what?
My business. The business that I was working. I was making a lot of money. I was doing really, really great. And it was like, it started to slow down and move back and move back. I was like, what's going on? And like, literally, when it really hit, he said, I'm not feeding this anymore. And when he said that, I just said, okay, I'm following you now. Show me what
but
it is.
But what does that mean, though? I mean, because
So to make a long story short, yeah. Went all the way broke. Okay. Went all the way broke. Almost lost everything. So the best thing that ever happened in my life.
This is what I'm trying to get to.
You have to have a breakthrough.
So that people can... Yeah, but that, I mean, that breakthrough could have been that, you know, well, maybe, you know... Let me finish my point so that you can understand why. No, listen. Okay. This is important.
No, we're listening.
I'm serious. This is really important because it's one thing for you to say God spoke to you and isn't going to feed your business or any of that stuff. Okay, but why did you decide to stop being a hater? You could have decided to stop wearing heels. You could have started to go to church 3 times a week instead of one time. So I'm trying to figure out why do you believe that that was the thing,
you know,
instead of something else that may have been not working
in a lot of situations you make a lot of things idols, right? And then when those things become your idols and God comes to start stripping you of those things. And when I say, I'm talking about people, places, things, he starts to strip you of those things. You don't have anything left to look at but yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you get in that place of really evaluating yourself, then you operate differently. And then those things that you once idolized, he showed you never need them and they're not of any importance. So me wanting to have what other people have, and those things weren't important because what I already had was enough.
You said they stopped being important?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's what I'm getting
to. Yeah.
Because
having those things stop being important because they didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because they were costing you. And to go back to what you were saying, what were the consequences? You sabotage yourself.
Mm.
And that self-sabotage leads to you operating and moving in a place of going after stuff that there's no longer attainable for you.
Yeah.
So you're just totally losing yourself in everything.
Yeah.
And God wants you to reel back in and stay in line with what he has. So when you get stripped of everything, baby. I did a blog on it calling him Love
you
with
know,
a Stripper.
And I'm going to say this as a therapist. A few years ago, I was at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through a phase back in 2013 where I was mad at everybody. I was hateful. I wasn't in a relationship. I didn't like my body. It was a lot of stuff going on with me. And I'm a therapist.
Yeah.
And so I remember we were at a party and a friend told me, yo, my homeboy coming to town from Atlanta. I want you to meet him. Y'all act just alike.
Mm-hmm.
So we at this party and I got introduced to the homeboy and the homeboy talked about everybody in the room. I'm talking about hateful. Very disruptive, disgusting. And I'm like, whoa, I act like that? And people were like, y'all act just alike.
Ooh,
and in reality, I realized and I saw myself and I went home
deep.
And I was like, yo, that was disgusting. That was the foulest thing I ever seen. And I'm so sorry for anybody or anything or anyone that I ever said anything about or treated a certain way because I don't ever want to be viewed that way. Literally, I made phone calls. And I remember me and another therapist were having a conversation and this is what we said. We are going to fix ourselves to become the person that we would hang with. And as a result of that, since 2012, 13, I've been on that walk I want to be a beautiful person. I want to be a nice person. I want to be a loving person. I want to stay away from those negative things. Yeah. I want to be able to truly celebrate someone's accomplishments because someone's accomplishment helps me.
Exactly.
I think about it. It's for the culture.
Exactly.
If you win, I win.
I've got to go back to the phone lines.
Okay.
I believe this is Felisa calling from Maryland. What's on your mind? Felisa, are you there? Give me a call. Okay, go right ahead. What's on your mind?
I'm sorry. I'm married, and my husband has a lot of male friends, single. And I'm thinking I'm hating on the male friends because they'll call my husband, and they'll be like, what you doing? You want to go here? You want to go there? And I think I'm hating because I'm married, and I'm not saying my husband can't have friends, but... And I feel like you're not respecting my marriage covenant. If you're single and you keep calling my husband and asking him if he wants to go out with you.
Okay, so wait a minute. You said he has female friends?
No.
Male friends.
Yeah, male friends.
Right, and they're single They're single guys. These are guys that he was friends with, I'm assuming, when you met him?
He doesn't really have any friends. They call occasionally.
Okay, I'm not clear. Yeah, because okay. You said he has friends, but now you're saying he doesn't have friends.
Well, I use the wrong terminology.
Okay.
We have a lot of associates.
Okay.
Male associates who, when they want to go out with somebody, because most of the time my husband is the driver, they'll call him and they'll say, "What you doing tonight? Come on, let's go out." And I don't know. I'm hating because they're calling my husband, and I'm thinking that you're not respecting our marriage covenant because you're used to him being single.
I wanted to ask you, what are your fears with them calling? Let's just go there. I want to take it there with you. What are you worried about when it comes to his friends connecting with him and them going out? I understand that you are married, but let's go a little further than just the marriage. What worries you the most?
What worries me the most is that they don't serve Christ.
Okay. And what does that look like to you, serving Christ? And what makes you be the judge of that for them?
I don't know what to say, but I'm looking at their walk. And I'm looking at their fruit. And I'm looking at these seeds that are not good seeds that they sow. So that's what I'm looking at.
So is she talking about, is this a jealousy thing as we talked about earlier, or is this envy? I'm not the expert, but it sounds to me.
What do you think, Todd? I think it sounds like a little bit of both.
You're the therapist.
It sounds like it's a little bit of both. And I'm going to go there, and I don't want to disrespect the caller, but it sounds like there might be some insecurity stuff going on, you know, because we're covering it through the marriage and the respect of the covenant of the marriage. But then we're also going there. I'm judging someone's walk with God, which I can't really say sure.
Or can I jump in? Maybe she feels he may start walking the walk that they're on.
I understand that.
And so it's that, you know, if you're in a marriage, are you going to be making the right decisions when you get out there? Is he easily influenced? Is it, you know, has she had past experiences that have her now doubting if he's stepping outside and hanging out with this group of people? Will it lead to something else? That may be part of it as well.
Have you spoken to your husband about this?
Yes.
And what's his response?
Well, my husband, he listens to me because he stopped going out with them as often. I'm just saying it because somebody called him tonight. What you doing?
Okay.
And I, for my husband, I have to learn how to talk to him. I can't talk at him.
Yeah.
And so I'm learning how to, you know, not say, well, you're married now and they're single, so you shouldn't be going out with them. You know, I don't want to put it that way. So
how long have you guys been together?
We've been together for 10 years.
10 years. Okay. So would you say that you have a happy marriage?
Oh, yes.
Okay. What makes it happy?
For one, we both serve God. For one, we enjoy one another's company. Mm-hmm. We enjoy being together.
Yeah.
And my husband, he spoils me. And I think that's one of the things. So he spoils me. He gives me a lot of attention.
Okay, so here we go. So he spoils you, and now, you know, he does a lot. That means he's very attentive. He's there for you. He listens. He's there for you, right?
Yes.
So is it okay for him to kind of step out to enhance his social life and to have a moment where he's just with his boys? Because it sounds like he pours a lot into you. Don't you think that it's healthy and that you guys have maintained a healthy marriage because he has outlets outside of just his marriage? Because that makes the marriage better if he has an outlet with his peers. Go ahead.
And do you have an outlet, Felisa?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've got to go. Thank you so much for your phone call and good luck. I appreciate it. Let me go to Jamie. Jamie calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging
on,
Jamie. Hi. What's on your mind?
I'm here. Okay. So I just wanted to make the comment, one, that envy and jealousy is very real in the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say this. So when I was growing up, my mother always told me, well, she told me with my first job, because the manager was a female and she didn't like me. She made my job hard. This was my very first job when I was in college at Kit Mill Records. And wow. the manager was a male, and guess what? He was crazy about me.
Jamie, I got to stop you. We still have folks on the line. Make your point real quick, please.
Okay, sure. So I had this person at my last job. This female was so jealous of me. I mean, she did stuff like she told me that her grandmother told her that only whores wear red lipstick. She asked me, why do I have to wear heels every day? She talked about my clothes, talked about my personality, talked about my hair, just constantly talked about me. And she, not only did she didn't like me and hated me, but she convinced other females to hate and dislike me as well.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
Let me say this. I would have walked in there every day with red lipstick on the heels, and I would want her to tell me to my face that I'm a whore because I'm wearing red lipstick and heels. I'm going to say this. That sounds like that was a personal issue. How did you handle that when she made those statements? Did she write you up for your dress?
I tried everything. I even tried to use reverse psychology. Like, I know this girl don't like me, but I'm coming off of being homeless, so I need this job. I'm going to keep my job, and I'm going to use reverse psychology. So that's what I tried to do. I tried to use reverse psychology, but that still didn't work. It got worse.
Well, let me stop you there, Jamie, because let's talk about how do, and this is always personal.
Yeah.
This is personal, whether it's the person that is feeling the envy. We are talking about emotions here. And so, yes, that is personal. You were about to say.
I wish y'all could see how Harold's looking at me right
smile
now.
Ever.
I'm you know what? See, here's the thing. We have to really understand it. This is where the four agreements come into play. You can't take anything personally.
Yeah.
When you take stuff personally, you start down that road of creating the story in your mind, and then it adds to the sabotage, then it adds to the frustration, and then the miscommunication and the misunderstandings, and then you have this big thing that blows up.
Yeah.
When you don't take anything personally, you can then live in this space of peace. People, and you have, and it's a hard thing to do for people, because everything that woman was telling her didn't even have anything to do with her.
Her, yeah.
Well,
that's what I was saying.
It was about her own, and
that's what I mean by it is a personal issue. Yeah. And you are absolutely right.
Yeah.
That if you are, if you have a spirit of not being, you know, a hater, if, you know, one of my buddies, gets a great job, and he's going to make two or three times as much money as I'm making, my first reaction is thank God for him.
Mm-hmm.
Let us celebrate you. I don't feel I may be in, you know, not doing as well as I want to, but I don't have the feeling, especially if it's somebody that I love, or really appreciate. Real quick, how should the Jamies deal with someone who is openly hating on you?
I think that we need to always try to come to a place of peace. I think that if it becomes almost too much to manage and deal with, we all have recourse, particularly on jobs and stuff like that. I think that we need to always go about things the most appropriate way. But if something becomes overbearing where it prevents you from being able to function daily, you're stressing about it, you're coming into work, anxieties, I think that we need to, you know, go about the proper way of managing that. It's one thing, oh, she a hater. But, you know, after a while, saying somebody's a hater and not doing anything about it can often impact you. Like you said, somebody has a personal issue. That personal issue now starts to impact me personally. I'm talking about it at home now, you know, for hours. And so at that point, we need to follow our channels of recourse. That's the best advice I can give to anybody. That can be therapy. That can be church. That can be a spiritual counselor. That can be a resolve with HR at work.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jamie, thank you so much for your phone call. Quickly, Ms. Brenda calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I feel that hate and envy ties together. I heard you when you asked the question, you know, where does this come from? This comes from way back. I'm talking at a big biblical point of view, from Cain and Abel and David.
Come on.
This comes from hate, to me, leads to other things. That's why there's so much murdering around here. You know, things are just out of place. And it comes from, as far as you can say, a spiritual point of view. Hate will just tear you up. Yeah. It lays heavy upon your soul, your mind. And, of course, if you're not a true Christian or getting into that of church, Satan will lay on your mind. I'm in a situation now that I have a neighbor, so help me. Poor soul. I said to the good Lord, I'll just pray for her.
She wanted
my death. And she's done a lot of things because her son...
Brenda, I would love to hear that story, but I'm really low on time. But I think you made an excellent point, and I am glad that you were still with us, even though there was somebody who may have wanted your death. So thank you so much for sharing with us. One of the things, Tara, how did this change for you manifest itself in your relationship with people? Did it, did that change?
Oh, absolutely. I think when you say this change, you referring to like after I read the book, after I got
I mean, you said that there was a moment.
There's a stripping that went on,
right?
I did a blog on YouTube called I'm in Love with a Stripper, and I was referring to God because he stripped me of a lot of things that I thought I needed, which he showed me that I didn't. It was not in my purpose. When all of that happened, I then was, you know, in that place of looking at myself. So now how I interact with people, I don't take anything personally. I don't make any assumptions. You know, I stay impeccable with my word. I hold them accountable to their word. And I always do my best and what's best for others. I operate more in a selfless mindset.
What does that
because
mean?
Because that means that you're not looking like, you're not always in this position that it's about you. I'm in this position that it's through me. It's not about me. It's through me. And whatever that brings about in any situation for anybody else is what I'm here to do and serve in. So, you know, when I'm thinking about that whole time period, it's the best thing that ever happened in my life.
Yeah.
The best thing that ever happened. If I had to go back and change stuff, I would never. Right. Never. I mean, when you get stripped down by God, it's a blessing, you know, and it added to who I am, is who I've become as a person. So now when I'm operating with people, I go from a standpoint, I don't take anything personal. I don't make any assumptions about any situation. I'm very clear in my communication and ask people things and communicate things on my end. And I, that's just how I operate now in my life. Has so much peace in it because of that.
Are there teachable moments, Joseph, for those who, like Tara, now? For those who are still, you know, out there hating?
Yes. There's always a teachable moment. Ask yourself, what do I lack? What do I feel I'm losing? And what do I feel that I need in order to get myself to a space where I don't behave this way anymore? And that's part of that stripping that Tara was talking about, where you start to really look at it for what it is. Like, you know, maybe I'm hurt about this because I don't feel like I'm good enough, or maybe I want to be, or I'm just as great and I just wasn't in the right space. Maybe there's something stopping me from getting where I gotta go. When we think about relationships, jealousy in relationships, what am I fear? What do I fear right now?
Yeah.
What is the thing that's scaring me?
And that fear always leads back to what you just said. I'm not enough.
I'm not enough.
I'm not. If you're in a relationship and you're with someone and you're insecure and you're doing all these things, you got to know this, got to know that, all these things, you have to really stop and think. Because that can come, become sabotaging to
all
yourself, can become toxic to another person. And you have to be in this place of understanding that you are enough.
Right. I say this all the time in therapy. Let's flip the glove inside out. The top of the glove is what you're doing. Inside of the glove is why you're doing what you're doing. And we always need to figure that out all the time. Why did I have a problem with this person? I have moments to myself all the time as a therapist. And I tell the people, have a moment with yourself. What is the problem right now? Let's go there. And that's a scary place because you have to be honest.
When you have to be accountable.
You have to be
accountable. With yourself.
Absolutely.
With yourself.
And I think that's one of the things that you were asking Felissa.
Yes.
Also. And I think that when it comes to
relationship. She was a prime example, but another example is if you may have a husband or a wife or a mate or whatever. What have you, and all of a sudden your mate achieves something really, really outstanding. Mm-hmm. It could be on the job. It could be a degree. It could be, it could be even a spiritual revelation that makes them a better person.
Yeah.
The other partner or spouse may feel envy because of that achievement. Yeah. How do you, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds, how do you deal with that in a relationship, in a relationship that's supposed to be loving?
Relationships do not work unless you and that person are on the same page. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't have to be in the same place on the page, but y'all have to be somewhere on the page together. And that's across the board for anything. I think what makes it work is communication, is honest and open vulnerability when it comes to, baby, I'm feeling this way. I feel like because of this opportunity, I might be losing you. And have that talk with your partner all the time.
I think that's
check
a,
in.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. We need another hour for this one.
Thank you so much.
Tara Gates Anderson. Yeah, it's so good to see you.
It's been
a minute.
Yes, yes. Thanks.
I guess I'm seeing a different person.
I was not a hater when Harold met me.
I know. Yeah.
Harold give me a hard time tonight,
always,
y'all.
He gonna
have my
always.
No, you could never have my name bad in the street. Harold.
Absolutely. You know, I'm gonna talk about you, but it's always good things.
All
and
love.
You too, Joseph Williams. Good
thank
to see you, man.
Me. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 6th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Willette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful hate-free weekend.
Yes.